In his State of the State address, Governor Sam Brownback is proposing a flat budget for institutions of higher learning in Kansas. And according to Dr. Kirk Schultz, the president of Kansas State University, the proposal is not only for a flat budget, but for a flat budget for the next 2 years. In addition,
one of the things the legislature is doing now, slightly different than it did in previous years, is they're actually doing a two-year budget. Now, that doesn't mean that next year's legislature won't decide to modify and do some things, but I think it's an interesting change in Kansas budgeting to be looking at a two-year budget model. And what that has is no general fund increase for Kansas State University. It also has no general funds decrease proposed by the governor for Kansas State University. So given the lack of revenue coming into the state, higher ed came out about as well as we could expect.
You said proposed by the governor. We're not looking at lawmakers and what they may do to what he's proposed, though, are we?
Not yet. And anybody who's watched Kansas legislative sessions knows the first month is almost always wild, like lots of ideas. The news media talks about a lot of these different proposals that various House members and senators will be put out there, the vast majority of which never even make it out of committee. But I think we'll have a sense in another couple weeks about the mood of the legislature, what their feelings are about higher education. And so far, it's really been strongly dominated by talk of K-12.
So what does a flat budget mean in terms of dollars for Kansas State?
I don't have the exact figures, but it'll be somewhere a little less than $150 million in our block grant, which is the amount of money that we're given by the state of Kansas to keep our doors open, keep the lights on, pay our faculty and staff, things like that. It's not nearly enough, but that's the dollars that we have to work with. Beyond that, then we have to look at tuition and fees and other dollar philanthropic dollars that we all add together to kind of make our annual budget.
Fees going to go up again next fall?
Absolutely. I just don't see any way around it from the perspective of with a flat budget, we have increasing costs. Our utility bills, even though gasoline has dropped, our utility bills cost a little bit more each year. As we add square footage to campus, there's more electricity costs and other things like that. We continue to have some increases in healthcare costs. And then we have some annual things that are just part of operating any large 5,500 employee organization that we have to do. So you sort of add those together. The second pot and a very significant thing is we need to reward our faculty and staff for the great work that they do, which means annual increases, merit increases, things like that. And right now we have a 2% merit pay raise scheduled for July, and that's in there as well. So you add all those things up, if it's flat from the state, that means we've got to generate revenue from other places, and that means tuition and fees are going to need to go up to help us cover some of those expenses.
Are there things that tuition and fees cannot be used for? Faculty raises, things like that, or can you do what you want with the money?
We can pretty much do what we want with the money. There's not legal restrictions on things that we can do. But the way in which our proposal is put together is we sit down and we work with our students, we work with our leadership teams on campus, and we put together a proposal that we take to the regents. And it's not just give us an X percent tuition increase and we'll use the money some particular way. We actually calculate what that is, and our proposal will be, if this tuition increase is granted, and here's the amount of money it will generate, here's exactly where it's going to be used. So while there's a lot of flexibility on what that can be used, when we actually go forward with that proposal, we are very detailed on exactly how it's going to be used. So, and then we take that and put it out to the campus community, the news media picks it up. So we try and be very transparent with that so people don't say, well, they got this big percentage increase in tuition or 5% or 6% or 4%. We don't have any idea what those dollars are used for. We feel we really need to put forward exactly how we're going to use those for transparency so the students understand how we're using those particular dollars. And so our faculty and staff understand when they see that, how those dollars are being used.
Do you have any idea at this point what kind of an increase students might see in the fall?
We don't know an exact figure, but in our budget modeling, we've put a 5% placeholder in there because we have to forecast some amount of dollars in there so we have some sense of where we're going to be. My sense is it could go up or down from that particular figure by a little bit, but my sense is that's going to be somewhere around there at the end of the day.
5%? What does 5% mean for the average student?
It'll be, another $100 or something like that per semester. I don't have that exact number. It's not going to be another $1,000 per semester for a student or anything like that. But, you know, it's the cumulative effect of the tuition increases that really hurt affordability and the average Kansas family being able to send their son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter to Kansas State or KU or Wichita State. So while you can look at it and say, well, gee, that's not a lot, you have to say, well, every year you keep adding that on there. And it does mean that it costs a lot more to get a degree now than it did 4 years ago. However, as I talk to other presidents, other public university presidents across the country, in Colorado and Oklahoma, other states around us, all of us are facing the same sort of dilemmas. We have increasing costs. The states are not investing in higher education to the extent that they did 10 years ago. And the only way that we can continue to progress and build appropriate facilities and pay our faculty and staff what they deserve is really through tuition.
Is there, in your mind, a lack of understanding on the part of state officials as to the value of a college education?
I think that's always an opportunity for us to talk about the value of an education. One of the things that's happened politically, particularly in Kansas, as we've shifted to a more conservative legislature, is sometimes people think, well, if you're going to get a college degree and accumulate debt, you ought to major in one of certain number of fields. You ought to be an engineer or an accountant, and you certainly shouldn't go into liberal arts or education or some of these other fields because there's no jobs in those areas. That's the kind of rhetoric that we hear. And so our opportunity sometimes isn't about going to college. It's that we need to allow our students to choose what they want to major in. When you're 18 or 19, you've got a lot of different ideas. And this fallacy that if I major in particular fields, I have no great career opportunities out there is something that we have to continue to talk with, show, and demonstrate that a student can get a degree in psychology or English or history or any of a number of fields and have a lucrative, successful career. Now, when I say lucrative and successful, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go out and be the next billionaire. That could happen, but we need people to engage in a variety of disciplines, and that's probably one of the key things that we have to continue to visit with the legislature about. Students need to have the opportunity to major in what they're interested in. We have an obligation, if you come and say, I want to get a degree in journalism, to say, hey, that's great. Let us help you map a career path out there that feels really good about where you're going to be and help you meet what you'd like to do. And so I think that's where the universities have an obligation, is we need to make sure we do career advising, career counseling, and real close work with our students so that when they get out, they don't go, well, gee, I wish somebody had talked to me about this earlier. The other thing that I want us to do a better job of is engaging with our alumni, bringing our alumni back so that if you say, Kirk, I'd like to write a novel, I want to always be a novelist, we say, you know what? We have two or three K-Staters gone out and done that. Let us get you to talk with them so they can describe how you need to prepare yourself, what things you should do, that kind of a thing. So we've got an obligation to educate our elected officials about the value of the educational experience we get at Kansas State University, not just what you major in and what the starting salary is for a graduate in those fields.
Switching topics just real quickly here. You've been named to the NCAA Board of Governors as its chairman.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, the NCAA Board of Governors consists of presidents of Division I, Division II, and Division III. And there's about a dozen or so of us. And our job is to be responsible for the finances of the NCAA, to go and look at strategic planning and strategic direction for the NCAA, to evaluate the president and executives at the NCAA, and overall just provide guidance to the entire organization.
And that starts now?
Starts now. It started this last week. And it's a 2-year term. So I'll finish up sometime in January of 17 will be when my term officially ends.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Dr. Kirk Schultz. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.